Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Speed Syndicate, episode 65, this one titled Second Verse, same as the first. Wonder where we got that. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, whatever's left of him, and I don't do it alone, thank heaven. Let's bring in our cast and crew. Look, he's here from remote, he's here from afar, but he is always up and at him, and I'm talking about the man himself, Adam Carabine. Let's bring him in.
Hello, Logan.
How you doing?
Oh, there you are. Hello. How's it going?
We're doing well, buddy. You're on remote. You're at the Daytona 500. How you doing? Are you exhausted yet?
I am, and I'm not. I had a nice day to kind of recover today. It's been a lazy day around here, which is nice. And yeah, just kind of taking it easy. I've got a couple more days left here in Florida before I'm out of here, so.
You were prepping for that rain just in case. Oh, Mother Nature, I hear you.
Oh, boy. And It was rainy.
Look, while we're both handsome studs, let's not make any mistake about it. Let's bring in the best-looking member of this dais. I saw her go through a cavalcade of emotions yesterday while watching the Great American Race, folks. She was up. She was down. She took a nap during the rain delay. And she was disappointed when her beloved, Ryan Blaney got caught up in some of that chaos at the end. Let's bring her in. Let's see if we can cheer her up. Because let me tell you what, if he'd won the Daytona 500, I don't know what this show would have been like. But let's bring her in, the best looking woman, my better half. I'm talking about producer Peyton. Come on in here, Peter. Apparently my name's Peter. So, Peyton, how are you? We're going to feature you more today because Adam is on the vacay. He's doing website things. He's doing vacation things. He's doing it all kind of things. All right. We wrote an article today. I don't know if I wrote, I jabbered along. So give me your thoughts, just some overarching thoughts here, Peter, before we get going. How do you feel about it? Daytona 500? You've had a day to sleep on it. Give me your thoughts.
I'm still upset about it. And you might think, well, obviously she's upset. Ryan Blaney got wrecked. That's not why I'm upset. I'm upset because old Bill Byron won. No hate, no shade to Bill Byron.
It sure seems like.
But he's just not my cup of tea. Love him. Love his Legos. But
hey man, love his like us.
A hashtag love Billy's Legos, but like not for me.
All right, we're gonna talk more about it. Matt, I want to get to your comment here before we do our weekend review, so let's do it. He wants to know, Adam, how was Daytona? Talk to our man, Matt Moore. Come on, Canadian.
Well, before we get there, are we in the wrong spot here, Producer Peyton?
See, I was all upset about Bill Byron.
Oh, the shame.
It happens. Yeah, Daytona was amazing. It was unlike anything I've ever seen before. I think I was saying on the show last week that I have never been to a race as a fan, so this is my first time. And certainly there are perks to covering it as media, don't get me wrong, but this was a different beast in itself. I've also been and covered the championship race in Phoenix, and this outdid that as far as overall atmosphere and just excitement from the crowd. And yeah, I mean, the place seats over 100,000 people, and it was sold out, every last seat, and out of control. Honestly, like I'm still jazzed from it, and I would like to come back again. So I think I said it in our article that we wrote today, Logan, like if you haven't had a chance to get to the Daytona 500, you got to get there. I mean, I'm not even American, and I was like, it's the Great American Race. I'm ready.
Baseball, hot dogs, out pie, and the Great American Race. No, Adam, I'll tell you what, I'll do it. Let's link up here in a year or two. Let's get this done. Me, you, yeah. Me, you, and producer Peyton together. I'm gonna need a lot of help if we're gonna give me around that many people. We'll have to plan it all together. Looking forward to it.
We can do it. You can do it. I got faith.
So, speaking of looking forward to it, let's go. Let's go to our weekend review, shall we? Matt Maher says he's hoping to go next year himself to the creme de la creme of our industry, the Daytona 500. We hope you're there, Matt, just because, you know, it's just, if you love this sport, like we all love this sport, right? It's just, I can't wait to someday get there myself. So, Adam, talk to me. Did you see the duels? Did you not see the duels? Were you on the beach? Were you sipping champagne? What was your duel status?
I flew in Wednesday and I caught qualifying for the Cup Series. I went to the duels. I did not make it to the Truck Series race. I just needed a bit of R&R after a long travel schedule and all that. But then I was at Xfinity and Cup as well. So, but actually, to be honest, I watched the truck race on TV here as well. So it was a little bit more relaxing on the couch in my condo here, but yeah.
It's you know, you got the bug, like we all got it. We just can't turn away from it once we know it's on. Freddie says Priest went for a wild ride. You ain't kidding, brother. Freddie, Priest has gone for a couple wild rides. We're going to break that down more, but right now let's talk quickly about the duels. We want to talk about them. Bubba Wallace wins duel one, and Austin Cindric, under some controversial circumstances, one duel two. Producer Peyton, I want your thoughts. She's stunned. Was it the right call for that caution to cost Eric Jones that duel win?
Yes. However, I think over the span of the week into the weekend, I think NASCAR was very inconsistent on when they chose to throw cautions. For example, like, and I'm sure we'll talk about it soon, I think, like, in the Xfinity race, I think when they threw that caution at the end of the race versus when they threw the caution at the end of duel two, there's a big difference. Versus the end of the 500 when they threw that caution, I think there was a lot of inconsistencies, and I would like to see more consistency on their part so we know more of what to expect in the future.
Consistency indeed. Adam, what say you?
I think it was the wrong call, and I'm not necessarily biased towards Legacy Motor Club or Eric Jones in any way. I think they're, you know, less than 100 yards from the start-finish line. If the race was continuing and it wasn't the last lap, I'd say, yeah, sure, you got to throw that caution right away. But these drivers are not—they're not going around another time. Like, it's not like there's a safety issue. Once they cross the finish line, they're slowing down anyways, right? So let the race play out under green, kind of like they did in the Cup Series, because I felt like that was more appropriate for the situation, you know? If it's in the middle of the race, absolutely, you got to throw the caution as soon as you see one. But when it's the last lap, you can let things play out a little bit and let them, you know, kind of correct themselves. And there's not really any issue as far as getting safety equipment out there or anything like that. Like, I think you want to see the race end under green. And it's a shame for Eric Jones because, yeah, he pretty much deserved that win, but just kind of, it got screwed up by the caution.
Yeah, certainly a controversial call. And then I want to ask one question about duel one, and then we're going to move on to the rest of the weekend. Is Bubba winning the first duel a sign of things to come for 2025? Or is it just more of what we already knew, that he's a great super speedway racer, which we've already known that he has been since literally the day he had a cup start there. His first one was for RPM at the time, and he was second, his first one. And so we've known for years that Bubba Wallace is one of the great super speedway racers of this era. So, Adam, I'll come to you first. Is this a sign of the 2025 he's going to have, which means highly successful? Or is this just he knows what he's doing on super speedway?
I see it more as a sign of good things to come for Toyota this year. Traditionally, Toyotas haven't been as strong in qualifying, in the duels, and all that, you know, on drafting tracks in general. And they had a pretty solid weekend. Chase Briscoe getting the pole, Bubba Wallace winning duel number one. I am cautiously optimistic for Bubba, but I also know that for these races at Daytona, Talladega, and now Atlanta, there is a certain level of luck involved. And yes, there are some perennial names that we see returning to the front of these packs all the time, and they're clearly good at making their way there. But as William Byron would attest, you know, it takes a certain amount of luck as well.
I think it takes skill to put yourself in that advantageous position to be in the position to get lucky. And I know that's a very complicated sentence, but honest to God, at super speedways, I think it makes sense. You have to be good to put yourself in that spot, but you do have to get a little lucky at the end. Peyton, I'll come to you quickly. Give me a yay or a nay, maybe a sentence or two on, is this just more of the same for Bubba, or is this the kind of year he's going to have?
I don't think he has a wildly successful year, but I think he has a better year. I think he's in a better headspace now. He's been very open and honest about his struggles with mental health, and that headspace is important for him. And I know he just had a baby and everything, and he's been open and honest about how that has really improved his life. And I think that will play a big role in, you know, kind of setting things in motion.
Ryan Hill chiming in. He must have knew we were about to talk about Joey Logano and the Daytona 500. He must have knew. All right, let's talk about the Daytona 500. And since Ryan's here, let's get right to it. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Joey Logano had a brouhaha, a kerfluffle. A, you know, a little bit of an incident, if you will. Did somebody do something wrong here, or was this just a racing incident at Daytona with laps winding down? It is the biggest race of the year, unless you're the only one that could ever compare. Is it like if you're in the championship four, then it might be just as big. But as a race, as a whole field, it's as big as it gets. Ryan can't stand the dude from Mississippi, he says. And look, I'm gonna start here. I don't understand why Joey Logano's getting such hate. I thought it was Stenhouse that was the bigger aggressor. Were they both aggressive? Of course, yes. But I thought Stenhouse was putting his chips on the table a little early. Because you even saw Joey Logano try to back it down. He just ended up getting squeezed once he made the move. And John Hunter Nemechek left Stenhouse a ton of room. Come on back up, and we'll try this again in a lap or two, but we ain't got to do it right now. And Stenhouse said, nope, I've already put it all the chips on the table, and that's the way it's going to be. And sometimes for Stenhouse, to his credit, that works. He's a Talladega winner. He's a Daytona winner. To his credit, it does work. But more times than not, Mr. Excitement 2.0 gets it going like a tornado in a trailer park. And again, I think it got him. Now, if I'm being totally fair, again, it's the Daytona 500. He's running for a team that we don't consider to be a perennial powerhouse by any means. So you got it. No risk it, no biscuit. I get that. I just don't think it was the time to do that. You know, I think he could have waited a little bit. He could have took John Hunter's invitation, who was literally saying, come sit here at this seat, please. And he said, nah, fam, I ain't going to do that. Ryan Hill says, bad block, sure, but in his opinion, it's also racing it. Yeah, look, I'm not mad at, like, either one. I think it was Stenhouse that is kind of the more wrong. But, again, I think he's playing with the card metaphor here, he's playing with a lesser deck than Joey Logano. Joey Logano's probably got a lot more opportunities to win races this year than Ricky Stenhouse, if we're being real. Not saying Hayek can't go off, but we just don't predict that. So yeah, I do that. That was my take. Adam, give me your thoughts. What'd you think of that whole deal?
I didn't get to see any of the TV broadcasts, so I'm not sure what they were saying on there. To my eyes, honestly, and Ryan Hill, you're not going to like this. I thought it was Logano's fault. I thought, you know, he's clearly got the fastest car right now, and sure, Stenhouse throws a block. Everyone's throwing blocks. Like, it's, you know, you're getting down to 15 to go. It's wild, right? Like, everyone is getting in everyone's way. And Logano, it looked like he checked up a little bit and then got frustrated as Stenhouse kept blocking him. And it looked a little bit like Logano said, enough of this, and tried to just get him out of the way, like move him out of the way. Unfortunately, it took Logano out and ruined his day instead of Stenhouse. So that was my view on it. Again, you know, I didn't get to see all the close-ups and all that, so maybe I'm wrong, but we saw a fair amount of replays of the track, and that's what I saw.
Peter, what say you?
I gotta agree with you, Logan.
That sentence ain't said often, folks.
From my point of view, no, I do think, like, it takes two to tango, but, like, kind of what Matt said, why is Stenhouse blocking four wide with 15 to go? Like, it's just not a good situation for either of them to be in, I guess.
Again, want to be fair to both gentlemen. It is the Daytona 500. You do want to risk it all for that kind of race. And again, especially if you're Stenhouse. Again, that's not the powerful powerhouse it is Team Penske. Let's just be real. So I kind of get that. But yeah, I'm inclined to put a little bit more blame on Ricky Stenhouse, even though I do want to say that I know it's fashionable to kick on Stenhouse. I get that. So I want to be entirely fair to him. I do. I just think that, you know, wait a little bit there, buddy. We also need to talk about the Ryan Preece wreck. Yes, Ryan, we're on to Atlanta. Don't worry about it. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about it. I don't know if Adam's going to talk about it. He's got things to do, but we'll talk about it. Let's talk about the Ryan Preece situation wreck. Again, let's do that real quick, and then we'll do race and refresh picks. I just want your thoughts on the Ryan Preece wreck. Adam, you were there live. What's that like, seeing that?
It was scary. Honestly, it was really scary. And it was unnerving as well, because they went to a red flag. So they brought all the cars to a stop on the backstretch there. And then you could hear a pin drop in there. Like, everyone was waiting to hear whether he was okay. And it was on the opposite end of the track from where I was sitting, so it was a little hard to see it in the moment. But then once we saw the replays and all that, like, it was wild. And it's scary. So I'm glad he's okay. Again, we keep running into this issue of, like, cars getting airborne, and I don't know what the solution is. But, it was scary to be there in person. I'm glad everyone's okay.
I begin to wonder if there is a solution, and I'm not trying to be a cop-out or be a show for NASCAR. But if we're going to run 185 miles per hour, can we keep them on the ground? I don't know. I don't have an answer. And these tracks are so iconic, you got to keep coming back. You can't take Daytona and Talladega off the schedule. That would be like taking your maple syrup, Adam, or taking my hot dog. Yeah, there's just some things. Daytona and Talladega is part of NASCAR. It's a part of. It's in the fabric, the DNA, the zeitgeist.
You've probably had enough hot dogs that they're actually in your DNA now, Logan.
You ain't kidding, especially during the summer here. Oh, we get it going. We'll talk about our hot dog toppings next week. I know you got to get to other things. So what do you say we throw the show for a curveball? Let's go to Race and Refresh Picks. Now, don't you get all cattywampus, folks. It does not mean we're having a short show. It means the show creator has got to do other things, and then he'll be back for the full shebang next week. Isn't that right, Adam?
Yeah. No, I will be back next week for sure. I'll give you the quick read.
Full hour? You doing 5 minutes? Can I get a forecast for the next few episodes?
I'll be there for the full hour. And you know what? Sometimes we even go a little longer, and I'll be there for as long as the show goes. So.
That's right. Willie Nelson once said, stay all night and stay a little longer, and we sure like to do that. So, anywho.
I'll recap our scores from last week.
Oh, sounds so joyful. Stop.
I'm not joyful about it because we introduced a new wild card this season with ChatGPT making a pick, and ChatGPT schooled us. Although we might be being a little more strategic with our early picks here. So ChatGPT wins the day with Ryan Blaney, which means, Logan, you came last, and that means you get to pick first. So who are you going with for Atlanta?
Tell you what, Austin Dillon's going to rule the day. I don't know how he's going to rule the day, but he's going to rule the day. we don't like to start down the hole like this. You know what, I'm going to, again, got to be strategic right now, I think. So you can't get wild. I'm not going to panic. It's early. So I'm going to go Noah Gregson in the fourth car.
Okay. You know, he showed some promise there at Daytona. You know, he was up front for a little bit there.
Exactly. I mean, mullet and all.
Next up is myself. And I'm going to go with Ty Dillon here. Peyton, you are next.
I'm going to take Daniel Suarez.
There you go. Yes. Now, again, ChatGPT, not necessarily familiar with all the rules, but I have asked for their pick, and they're going with Kyle Larson for Atlanta. So certainly a
respectable pick.
Going hard early. Their picks might be a little less favorable later on down the stretch, and maybe we can make back up some ground then. But hopefully, I guess I'll be cheering for a nice early Larson wreck. Is that controversial to say?
Well, you know, perhaps some engine trouble so nobody gets hurt.
That's right, yeah.
Any problems.
So, yeah. We'll tune in next week. I'll be back for a longer, for the whole show next week, and we can discuss more then.
All right. When is your flight back to the homeland?
I am returning back on Wednesday, so I've got a couple more days here to just hang out and take a little vacation time and drink a margarita or two.
Well, you enjoy yourself, and you enjoy riding the Dente Chili's, if you will. And
I'm tempted. Might have to go check that out.
And we'll see you next week, my friend.
All right. Thanks for holding down the fort while I'm out here in Florida.
Enjoy yourself down there. Thanks.
See you guys.
Producer Peyton, it is you and it is me. This is what we did. If you thought it was going to be a short show, folks, yeah. Matt Moore says, I don't think there's a solution to make aerodynamically without slowing the cars down by another 50. And if you slow them down by another 50, that's losing some serious luster. That's, you know, back in Lee Petty's day, that was fine, 140 or so or whatever it may be. But we're a long way from there, you know. We're a long way, somewhere around 70 to 75 years from there. And so I don't think you can slow – Because here's the truth of it. I don't mean to sound callous, folks. I really don't. Number one, nothing is more important than the safety of the drivers. Nothing. But at the same time, we can't ever not make this a dangerous sport. If you don't want to have any risk involved, don't do the sport. I love that the NFL is working their keister off, working their hiney off to curb concussions and major impacts. But as long as it's still contact football, there's going to be some concussions. You know, that's just the truth of it. And again, I'm not saying that, hey, that's fine, it's just part of the game. No, if a tragedy were to strike, that is what that is, it's a tragedy. But at the same time, we also can't make the sport not dangerous because it's an inherently dangerous sport. It just is, in my estimation. So I don't know what you do. I don't have the answer. That's above my pay grade. That's going to take some Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson level brain power that I don't have. I'm just a C-plus man, but that makes me smarter than a half of you. So I don't have that kind of brain power, as I said. All right. So let's move on to a little bit of the Xfinity series. Jesse Love, he was a love machine, if you will, at Daytona. RCR gets it done again at Daytona. Austin Hill, we talked about going for four straight. That didn't happen, but Pop's still a happy man because Jesse Love gets it done. And again, Peter, it was the late caution, inconsistent. Were you surprised that Jesse Love won? Or, you know, would he have been the backup pick considering he's in the RCR stable?
I was a little surprised. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just, I was a little surprised. I would have maybe bet on a couple other people before Jesse.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't have guessed it, but you know, he's a young up and coming phenom. I wonder if he's at the right place for him. And what I mean by that is, let's be honest, RCR is not quite what they used to be. This isn't the Dale Senior days. At least, you know, they might be on the comeback trail. We don't know. We haven't seen the season play out yet. But when you think about the last few years, it's been a bit of a struggle for them. So I don't know if that's the right place to kind of hone this craft, but we shall see. Again, yes, NASCAR was inconsistent. And I got to tell you, I try to give NASCAR the benefit of the doubt on these things. I kind of purposely kept myself out of the Jones Cindric debate on this show because everybody knows I'm a little bit biased. Like, there's just no denying that. I'm not hiding my fandom here, but I want to be fair for this hour and change. And so I'm going to kind of, you know, I think given the rule is what the rule is, they made the right call. Now, do they have to throw it at that point? I don't know. It goes to show this sport is ran by humans, and that means that they're gonna make mistakes, or I shouldn't say make mistakes. They're going to be second-guessed a whole lot. Because I can't tell you that Saturday was a mistake, can't tell you that Sunday was a mistake, can't tell you that Thursday was a mistake. We can just second-guess those decisions. And so, I don't know. I would love a more black and white answer to consistency on NASCAR. I wish that would happen. I don't know if it ever will because, again, it's ran by human beings, and human beings make judgment calls. And the way life works, human nature is, darn, I did something stupid on Saturday. I would hope you don't consistently do that same thing next Saturday. And so we might call it inconsistent, but is it inconsistent or is it getting better? We have to wait and see as the year goes on. Because Sunday, Peyton, you and I watched it. They didn't throw the caution until after William Byron crossed the checkered. They said, we're not throwing it. And to some extent, that was the right call. Some say it wasn't. I know Denny Hamlin was a little upset. But it's – again, judgment calls. In the trucks race, Corey Heim, it was Heim time. The clock was broken, and it still fell on Heim time. What I mean by that is Parker Kligerman for the part-time team Hendrick Motorsports was DQ'd. And that, boy, you talk about a real kick in the shins, because he was DQ'd due to heights. And I say that because the kick in the shins part, I say that because clearly Parker Kligerman was hyped. He called it the biggest win of his life. And winning at Daytona is always the biggest win of your life. Even in the summer, it's still Daytona. And, you know, I hate to see a win taken away like that. But at the same time, NASCAR and NASCAR fans have made clear you don't want the Wild Wild West anymore of the old, Petty Pearson days. And so, yeah, if something is deemed to be illegal, I don't think that win should stand. We had some friends talk to us, Peyton, about who they could have just let it slide and focused on the good story. And yeah, I get that. Parker Kligerman winning is a cool story. He's a very part-time driver this year. He's done full-time. We saw that announcement late last year. That's an awesome story. But if it was an illegal truck, it was an illegal truck. It's 2025. It's not 1975. And so there are rules and standards. You can make an argument there's too many, and I would actually say that's true. There's too many standards that these teams have to meet. But everyone is aware of the rule book. That's your job. And so what you take with it being Parker Kligerman, I got to ask this question. Should they have, as a friend of ours as suggested to us, should they have just kind of let this one slide, because who the hell is going to know the difference anyway? What say you?
No, because the rules are there for a reason. And if all the other trucks had to abide by the ride heights, even if Henderson Motorsports didn't do it on purpose, didn't know it happened, or maybe they did. I'm not accusing them of anything. I'm just, maybe they did know it happened. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But all the other teams had to be consciously aware of it and control it and make efforts to follow all XYZ, all these rules. So if NASCAR were to have looked the other way, that's not fair to all the other teams.
Yeah, again, I think it's a different era, and I know this sport is the epitome of, if you ain't cheating, folks, you ain't trying. But I don't want to state this like it's a fact. But the more we learn about the inspection process when we have these controversial DQs, I think it's fair to say, and I'm not going to say it's a fact, but I think it's pretty accurate to say NASCAR gives a fair amount of leeway within these post-race inspections. You remember the Alex Bowman fiasco last year? They gave them, from what we remember, every opportunity to fix this before inspection is over, because they don't really want to take a win away. But after a certain point, it's so egregious that it clearly might have helped you, and not only helped you, but maybe propelled you to a win. You know, it's not like you're going seventh to sixth. You know, you're the winner. And so, because you remember, there was a lot of talk about NASCAR gave Alex Bowman's team every opportunity to try and finagle things and get somewhere close to where they needed to be, and they just could not pull it off. So, I think usually when NASCAR, and I know their rules change every year and kind of how they want to govern the sport, but usually NASCAR gives a lot of leeway on these things. And so if they feel like it's an infraction to the point of DQ and a win, it probably was worth it. All right, with that, let's move on. Look, there's been a lot of news this week, obviously coming out of Speed Week at Daytona. So Speed Week, let's talk our Speedway Scoop sure that somewhere Ryan Hill is happy to see old Joey Logano behind that Speedway Scoop graphic.
I got my mini Joey in the mail today.
You have a mini Joey Logano.
Anytime someone wins at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, you can get the little winner for free.
So, like in a couple weeks here, then they go back to Vegas. If Eric Jones wins Las Vegas Motor Speedway, I can get a little paper cut out.
Yep.
There you go. How about that? Send me a picture of that. I think Ryan will think that is just the cat's meow. Anywho, let's talk a little Speedway Scoop, a little news, shall we? We shall. Are you happy with that? All right. I know you are the president and fan club of Mr. 305 Worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's your favorite Pitbull song?
I don't really know many Pitbull songs. Maybe Fireball.
Fireball. Yeah, I've seen you get down to that a couple times. All right. Well, I know we got some buddies that'll be upset that you're not more on the Pitbull train, but Pitbull announced he's ending his partnership, his association with Trackhouse. He announced it, I believe, Friday. So within less than 48 hours till the Daytona 500, Trackhouse co-owner says Dale or whatever he says. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, even though without the correct.
Every time he tweets it, I go, Dale. Every time, I'm Dale. I'm like, which one do you like better, senior or junior? And so this is just so odd to me. You know, I don't want to put on a tinfoil hat, folks, but I think there's more to this story. 2 days before the Daytona 500, a co-owner, now to what extent was he a co-owner? I don't know. I don't know the ownership structure, the percentages, the shares, the stakes. I have no idea. But he was a co-owner of Trackhouse to some extent. And remember, last summer, might have been late last summer, early fall, there were rumors that the Pitbull was on his way out of Trackhouse. And Justin Marks took to Twitter, took to X, whatever you want to call it, and tried to shut those rumors down real fast and said that he had big plans. They had big plans together for 2025 and beyond. Well, we got literally not a race as far as the regular season goes into 2025. And Pitbull said, I'm out the yard.
Maybe you're right, but also if, like, someone came up to you and said, hey, I heard so-and-so's leaving, and you were trying to keep it under wraps, like, what would you say?
I suppose that's fair, but I wouldn't say 2025 and beyond. You could use vague terms like big plans for the future.
I guess so, but...
It just doesn't pass the smell test to yours truly. And I've ate some questionable smelling things in my time, as you know.
I've seen you do that.
Yeah. Doesn't pass the smell test to me. Now, again, I'm not saying what I'm telling you is facts. I just think there's more to the story. Maybe everybody shook hands and it's all good and Pitbull just decided it was time to move on, and Justin Marshall decided, hey, we've kind of reached the end of our chapter together, you know. You know, some things are for a season, not for a lifetime. I get that. But it just feels very odd timing. The 2 days before the biggest race of the year, Pitbull, I'm sure he's won Grammys. Very successful hip-hop and rap artist, no doubt, right? He says, I'll see you. And that just doesn't add up to me. But anywho... We got to move on. We don't want to take too long on this, but I do. I just think there's something more to that story, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it if we ever get the opportunity. Speaking of opportunity, speaking of Florida Southern, Junior Motorsports. And this came from the head of the proverbial horse's mouth, folks. He is open to more cup races. I've got to sneeze. I have to sneeze. So hold on.
Hi, everybody. It's just the Peyton Show now. I'm going to bring back Logan now.
Thank you so much. Wow, my name is Peyton. Hey, how about that? Thanks so much, Peter. Appreciate you. So Junior Motorsports, Dale Jr. did a long kind of post-show Q&A with Noah Lewis was mostly it. And he said that the Daytona 500, because Allgaier got, what, P9? Pretty incredible, really, all things considered, the week they had. He said it made him realize that this is where they want to be and need to be, and that he was open to more cup races this year, and if an investor wanted to kind of help make that happen for this year and beyond, they certainly would take any calls, and they have always taken any calls. You know, I know you haven't had a ton of time to look at video and all those things, but you certainly have seen some of the Dale Jr. quotes. And we've talked a little bit before on various alliterations of this show, and there's been a lot of them. I've always thought that Dale Jr. probably wasn't ever coming to the Cup Series, because I'm gonna be frank with you folks. I think Dale is a very frugal man, and that's as respectable as I can put that. He even said in the interview with Noah Lewis that he is willing to put some of his own money up for a charter. He said this last night. But he said he needs investors to really help pull the rest of it off, because he said, I'm not going to bet my kids' future and inheritance on myself. That's a selfish thing to do. And I get that. I shouldn't say I get that. I'm not a father yet. But I respect that, and I certainly empathize with it. But after seeing the joy on his face, frankly, all weekend, I mean, he was at the garage at 6 a.m. when they rolled the car in. And after seeing the joy on his face and all those things and the emotions and just how excited he was to be there, I really feel like that this made the move. I think this is going to get him in the Cup Series. I'm not going to say next year, but I'm going to say 2 or 3 years. I think you're going to see him do more Cup starts, but I think they get a charter within 2 or 3 years. What say you?
I agree. I think we see them in the Cup Series.
So I do. I think we do. I think this got him inspired and made him realize, because sometimes you don't know you really want something till you got and do it. You know, you're case in point with that. You fall in love with the NHRA and drag racing. And so sometimes, and you would have never guessed that until we went to Norwalk. And so sometimes that's the way it goes. There's a rumor popping up thanks to Catch Fence, and Adam Stern also shared it thanks to catchfence.com that NASCAR is looking at a new manufacturer, or somebody has submitted an application for it, actually, for next season. And the heavy rumor is, so I want to say that's not confirmed, is that manufacturer is Dodge. Be pretty cool if that were to happen. Of course, Dodge has a long history in the sport. You can go back to the days of the King. More recently, of course, Brad Kay won a championship in a Dodge back when it was still Miller Lite and the Blue Deuce. So a lot of great history in the sport. I think more manufacturers, Peter, are a good thing. I assume you agree. I know you're a Ford gal, but could you get behind a little Dodge?
I think the more the merrier.
More the merrier. All right. So you are, you'd be all right with Nissan, Honda, all those, Hyundai?
Sure.
Come on in here.
Yep.
Every one of them.
Yep.
All of them.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Scott Dixon is possibly interested in running Daytona 500. I got to tell you, Peter, I think it's great that Scott Dixon or Elio Castroneves wants to run a 500. I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful for the sport. It's wonderful for the press they bring and the attention they bring. But I think the Castroneves experiment this week proved that you need a couple of other NASCAR starts first. Because Castroneves looked lost out there in the duels. At various points, he struggled in the ARCA race. Now, to be fair, a lot of cars struggled in the ARCA race, but he never looked comfortable. He made some, and again, easy to say sitting from my couch, armchair quarterback, but he made some clearly very inexperienced moves. And I got to tell you, and it's not a fair comparison. I get it. You know, it's not his fault that this scandal went down. Or this, I shouldn't say scandal, but this controversy went down. Mike Wallace could have did better than Elio Castroneves. Because Elio Castroneves' inexperience, I'm not talking about with just the car, the Newton Sevenberg, with this form of racing, with this form of racing as a whole, NASCAR as a whole, showed this weekend. It showed in major ways. And so I just personally think if Scott Dixon or Elio Castroneves or anybody else is going to run more Daytona 500s, give me a couple ovals, give me a couple Martinsvilles, give me a couple road courses first. Get your feet wet, really. And know the ARCA Daytona race really doesn't count. And so that's just my thought. You agree with that, Peter?
Yeah.
Do you think that Elio was kind of a fish out of water?
I don't know. I see both sides.
Always the diplomat. I hear you. All right. A couple more. Kyle Busch is running 5 truck races for Spire Motorsports this season beginning this weekend. Remember Spire who bought the KVM truck team, so it makes sense. And I believe that for the truck side, that Kyle Busch is still a consultant. Don't quote me on that. I'm not entirely sure, but I believe that's the case. So he'll probably have a strong run this weekend. Eric Almirola is returning to JGR for 9 Xfinity races beginning this weekend at Atlanta. So that's your Speedway scoop. You know, that's the news. There's just tons and tons of news this time of year, and there's tons and tons of news in the sport. So with that, what do you say we get to our weekend preview? All right, folks. Again, this show's a little out of whack in terms of the way we usually flow it. We did a refresh picks earlier with Adam. Adam in Daytona and traveling and, you know, taking a little time. He'll be back Monday, and then we'll have our refresh picks in the usual kind of order that you're used to. But I want to talk weekend preview Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend. That's the only major quote-unquote motorsport that is running. I believe the Trans Am Series starts at Sebring for those that are interested in the Trans Am series, one of the longest running series in North America. And so, all right, we got the truck race, we got the Xfinity race. We've already made our refresh picks, Peter. We've already made the cup. So give me, do me, as the founder would say, do me a great favor. We got the truck race coming up. Atlanta is a super speedway style. It's kind of the Daytona Talladega love child. That's the best way I can kind of put it. It's somewhere in between, you know, it's still a mile and a half, but it now has all the drafting action of a Daytona Talladega under this now not so new configuration. Give me a truck pick.
I'm going to go Kyle Busch.
Look, I don't like to make the same pick as you, but I would be a fool to not take Kyle Busch in that 7 truck. I feel as though he is the greatest Craftsman Truck Series driver probably of all time. I mean, the way he's dominated that series, he's the all-time leader in wins. It's just incredible what he's able to do in the trucks. And, yeah, I know it's going down for a little lesser competition, and there's been great debate on that. And I'm not saying anyone's right and wrong, but it's a worthy conversation. But he does do incredible things down there. All right, and then do me a great favor. What about an Xfinity pick?
I'm going to have to go a little Austin Hill action.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Austin Hill, because, again, it's that kind of super speedway love child. Austin Hill makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go Eric Almirola. You know, he's in great equipment in Gibbs. And let's not forget, Eric Almirola is a respectable super speedway racer. And so I think Eric Almirola's got a good shot. You know he's going to have top-tier equipment. Again, he's proven that he can do some good things on super speedways with both RPM at the time and SHR later on in his career. So I expect big things out of him this weekend if he can avoid the trouble. All right. Well, with that, look, every great episode of Racing Refresh, every great episode of Speed Syndicate, every great episode of whatever you want to call this podcast must come to an end. But to do that, first we have to have a little closing time. All right, well, producer Peyton, we had Adam Carabine for about the first half hour. He's down in Daytona, working on his tan, drinking Mai Tais, whatever it may be. Drinking Mai Tais and, I don't know, eating bonbons. But Daytona 500, it's come and gone. Right? And I don't know about you. It's going to sound sacrilegious. You ready? I'm kind of glad it's over. You want to know why? All the hype, all the pomp, all the circumstance. After a certain point, it's like, all right, let's get the rest of the season going. And so after a week of, well, really 2 weeks, if you consider the clash of hearing about Daytona, 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 Daytona's come and Daytona gone. And so I'm ready to move on to the rest of the meat and potatoes of the schedule. But it is closing time. And so give us your thoughts on anything you'd like to give us. Daytona's in the rear view. We got Atlanta coming up. You have the floor.
Well, it was a very interesting episode being on it the whole time. I'd like to... not do this again. But
you like your producer hit and miss spots?
Yeah, I like to be more in the background because I don't like to talk and I get camera shy.
You start doing a little bit of the shy fingies.
Yeah,
the shy fingies.
Mm-hmm. So if at any point during this you thought, what's wrong with her? That's what's wrong with me. Other than that, I think it would be cool if Ryan Blaney won Vegas so that I could have a little Ryan Blaney.
Instead of a little Joey Logano.
Yeah, I also have a little Kyle Larson from last year. And
is that the fall race there? Is that what you got?
Yeah. From the South Point.
So the fall playoff race. All right. So again, any final words?
That was pretty much them. That's all I have to say.
All right. I believe you'll be traveling this weekend. You're not gonna see much of Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going up to see my Nana, who isn't much of a NASCAR fan, so...
You might be able to steal the remote and flip it off the Alden's there.
Might be able to watch some on my phone. Let me... May I have a moment to
hear
a grievance?
Sure.
No hate, no shade. Actually, yes, hate and shade. Hate and shade, full send. What is wrong with the CW?
What do you mean?
I was about to say, like, I could watch some on my phone, which is fine. Yes, I can watch some on my phone for the truck race and for the cup race on Fox Sports Go. But when it comes to the Xfinity Series race, I can't. You know why? Because you can only watch the Xfinity Series races on the CW app next day. You cannot watch them live. You could only watch it on the CW broadcast, but I do not have cable or an antenna, so I can't do that. I have Hulu Live TV, which does not get the CW channel, and if it does, I don't know how to find it. I've tried for 2 seasons now, trying to find it. So, I guess I'm just not going to watch Xfinity this year.
Well, we'll have to figure out a way to make that happen for you, but that was just the greatest little closing time I ever saw. With that, folks, we want to thank you for tuning in, and to all our audio listeners, thanks so much for listening, and we appreciate you. And don't forget to follow us on social media. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us a like on Facebook. We all have various Twitter accounts that you can follow. Hit that subscribe button. Ain't no need not to. Come on now. Don't be shy. Refresh reports every day, every couple of days tops. And so lots of content coming your way. We're going to head to some racetracks this year. Peyton and I aren't we? So lots of cool content coming your way. Trust me on that. And look, we just hope that you enjoyed the Daytona 500. And now the real fun begins. We're off to hot Atlanta, but it looks like it's going to be a little chilly. So until next time, that's been producer Peyton Lohr. I'm Logan Morris. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.